Hey, what's up? It's me, Dave Stone, former co-host of the Boogie Monster podcast. From 2016 to 2023, myself and my good buddy Kyle Kinane, we'd get together each week, ramble on about ghosts, aliens, Bigfoot, other mysteries of the universe. At least that was our initial intentions. But if you've listened before, you know that it usually devolved into disjointed rants about vans and fried chicken. During that time, we also had a Patreon page. We would offer up exclusive bonus episodes to our patrons, usually in the form of Q&A sessions. And even though the Boogie Monster is currently on an indefinite hiatus, we're offering up those old bonus episodes to the general population so that everyone can enjoy our old nonsense. Hopefully, someday soon, we'll dust off our microphones and resurrect the Boogie Monster. But until then, please enjoy this blast from the past from your old pals, Kyle and Dave. Thanks for listening.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone. We can finally, once and for all, find out what happened with Judas Priest. Whether they broke up by themselves or they were pushed out by outside forces. Like the government.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
We're in.
Am I in? Wait, hold on.
What?
Okay, there it is.
Nothing. What are you talking about?
Huh? What are you talking about? All it's right. Never good when you have to ask.
If it's in? Have you ever had to do that?
No, I just think it's funny. Like the guy who's not sure. Is that it?
Well, I mean, it's in something.
Huh.
Well, that's one way to start it.
Yeah, you know, man.
We could just start over. We could start over.
You want to start over?
No, I don't. Okay. But I'm saying we could. We're in charge.
Yeah, we can do whatever we want. Especially today, because it's a bonus.
Bonus Q&A. Uh-huh. We've been off the bonus Q&As for a bit. Thanks for sticking in there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're back. And so, yeah, thanks for hanging in.
Yeah, appreciate y'all.
Didn't get you on for a couple months.
Or... Yeah. It's been a rough summer. But we're back.
It's been a whole damn thing.
It's been one thing after another. But, before we hit record, we were both doing... Norm MacDonald impression.
Bad Norm MacDonald impression.
I'll try not to carry that over.
Don't worry, you're not.
The episode.
Every time I think I'm doing it, I'm like, that's terrible.
Yeah, it's so bad. I can't do it. I can't do anybody. Like, I'm just not good at
impressions. You've done voices.
Yeah, but like not impressions. No, where there's nothing to measure it to.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't ever have a need to. What if I kind of sound like, nope. So I don't have the self-esteem to try an impression.
Man. Speaking of voices, let's just out of nowhere plug the thing.
Paradise PD, baby, coming out tomorrow night. It is going to upset people.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it one of those?
Yep.
But should, as we're recording, comes out tomorrow night, but as you're listening to this, it should already be out on Netflix. So,
well, when's this coming out?
Well, I don't know.
Tomorrow.
Maybe, yeah.
Well, Paradise PD on Netflix.
How many episodes are they doing? Do you know?
I did the first season.
Like 10?
I don't know. I think it was 10.
Cool, man.
Yeah, check it out. It's a thing. It's a fun thing.
You're a drug-sniffing dog?
I'm a drug-sniffing dog that sniffs all the drugs.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, a lot of jokes where there's like ha-ha jokes, and then there's, oh, man.
Oh, really?
Like, oh, boy. Yeah, that's I said that.
Oh, that's
yeah,
awesome,
it's gonna piss off plenty of people.
Well, cool, man. I can't wait to watch it.
How are you? What's going on, Dave?
Oh, I'm good, man. Just stayed up all night. I got 2 hours sleep.
Yeah.
Our buddy Gilbert Lowen is in town.
Oh, Gil.
Listeners may remember him from our very first live podcast we did last year in Atlanta at Red Clay Comedy Festival.
He was jumping in there.
He's one of our guests. Just a great dude. Just a fun-loving dude. And whenever he's in town...
That old silly Billy.
We go pretty hard. I mean, we weren't drinking or anything. We were getting into some edibles and... When Gilbert's in town, we like to get really high and watch Vietnam documentaries.
That's...
That new Ken Burns Vietnam documentary.
Is it new?
Documentary. Yeah, I think it's fairly new. It's on Netflix
I'm looking
now.
It up.
Yeah. I'm Vietnam. Assuming it's new. I wasn't really familiar with it. I've pretty much seen all his stuff. I've seen that Ken Burns baseball documentary 25 times. That's one of those that, like, because that narrator that Ken Burns has used in a few of those docs, but whoever the guy is that's doing, I think it's the same guy that did Civil War.
Yeah.
The guy that does Space War. That's just one of those things I'll put on and, like go to sleep to. Just almost like white noise, just soothing.
That's, we've been listening. I tell you, Rachel, I've been listening to this book about the secret life of trees.
No.
It's just some English guy talking about trees. I haven't made it past 3 minutes. And it's not that, it's like, it's just a soothing Englishman.
Yeah.
You know, as the roots grow, they reach out and sometimes connect with other roots. I didn't put an accent in there, but it's such a soothing English guy talking about trees.
Oh, that's
every
cool,
night,
man.
Puts me right to sleep.
That's cool.
Real,
you know,
lullaby.
You know what my thing lately has been? Not that this is an incredibly unique way to go about it, but this last few weeks, a couple times a week, like at late at night when all the work's done, I'm not going out, I'm home from shows or whatever, I'm just putting on some records and get high, listen to some vinyl or whatever, you know, some Google Play or whatever with the Bluetooth, but and then put on Planet Earth, but put it on mute. So I'm listening to whatever, you know, some tunes, and then watching Planet Earth on mute, high as shit. And sometimes, I don't know if this is really happening or if it's the edibles, but like, oh shit, it's syncing up! Oh my God!
I can hear you dropping out of college all over again.
Oh, but I love it, man. I love, like, just plugging all the holes.
I like the information from Planet Earth, though.
Yeah, I like how
they bring the suspense in there.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the narration's great, but, like, just something about just watching, just, you know, just on in the background, like, oh, look at those mountain goats.
You ever seen Letterkenny? It's a Canadian show. Were we talking about that?
Are those the hockey dudes?
Yeah, I think I have seen Hillbilly. We were watching that last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, after the show. So I ordered pizza. I got Domino's. Why do I ever do that?
Kyle, you've been scorned.
Because it's
many
late
times.
It's late and I just need something. But the one, I got two because I had a coupon. One pizza showed up, looked like it had a fucking stroke. Half of it slid off. You know, I'm just like, what am I doing? I'm like, what is this?
I took a beat through it.
Yeah, he opened it up.
Having a stroke.
This thing looked like it had a stroke. Fucking like half the toppings are dripping off the side.
Oh. Man, speaking of which, we did the, I talked about this before, but we repeated one of the fattest moves we've ever done, Katie and I, last night, having Gilbert as a house guest. 1 o'clock in the morning, we're all high as shit. And of course, they get the munchies.
Yeah,
and we got pie delivered again, and got some delivered pie.
Just to say again, we got pie delivered again.
And they got three slices. They got when you order from Astro Diner here in town, they on the menu it just says fruit pies and cream pies. And when you order from like DoorDash or Uber Eats, they don't tell you you're just getting a fruit pie and you're getting a cream pie. So they ordered two cream pies and one fruit pie. Yeah. And they sent us two slices of coconut cream pie, and both slices riddled with mold.
Really?
Moldy pie.
Disastro family restaurant.
So I called, and after some language barriers were negotiated, was able to get a $12 credit. So next time I go in, I can get more. Hey, would you like some free, you like a free version of the thing that we fucked up?
That place, for all the stuff that's turned over in that neighborhood, like, oh, I can't believe that's gone. I can't believe that's gone. That's one of those things, like, I can't believe that's still here.
Yeah, and it's overpriced, too.
I got wicked food poisoning from there.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I got the pasta primavera.
Wow. That's,
I've never, like, if something takes me out, I actually respect it.
Hmm.
Like when a true warrior falls in battle, but goes like worthy adversary. That's how I feel. If something takes me out, I'm like, you've bested me. tip of the hat to you.
Pasta primavera. That's the same thing that Russell Dalrymple in the Seinfeld episode got food poisoning from.
Really?
The president of NBC, George and Jerry are pitching their pilot. And long story short, but Elaine sneezed all over his pasta primavera, and he got food poisoning from it.
Well, this isn't what people paid to hear.
Yeah.
What's up, you fucking dickheads? I'm going to answer your questions.
Oh, God. I love it.
It's the ones that are the nicest to us that I'm the meanest
to.
Yeah,
we appreciate the $4 a month, you fucking idiot.
Let me do it. Let me be the enemy. Let me be the enemy, Dave. You got to be the nice guy.
I know. I need this.
You're the nice fella. Yeah. No.
But seriously, thank you so much, guys. It is much appreciated. Appreciate the support. Yeah, man.
Let's get to it. I'm going to start with this one.
Oh, are you in?
Yeah,
now?
Yeah, I got in.
Okay.
I came to
is it in now?
Oh,
okay,
God,
now
damn.
We can go.
Yeah, don't worry, I'm in.
There it is.
Stephen Krause says, and Dave, not to make light of your situation, but the guy who had a Dave ID, debit card, and your PIN number said Alternative Dimension Dave.
Oh, man.
Maybe he woke up in this world in Tampa of all places, and the only thing familiar was good old B of A. And then he said, I'd ask to review the security footage from that day. Well, you've been...
As of this recording, day 22.
And they said 6 weeks?
No. They said 60 business days.
Oh, it's 22 business days or 22?
22 calendar days right now. So whatever that is.
3 weeks, so take 6 out of that.
Yeah, so...
You're only at 16 days.
22 days without my money.
Banks are criminals.
Yeah.
Alternate Dimension Dave.
I'd love to meet that guy and just beat the shit out of myself.
Maybe that's why you're okay with pain, because there's Alternate Dimension Dave that you don't like, and so you feel you're punishing him.
Been experimenting with some pain stuff lately. I don't know if we want to get into it right here.
Oh, I think we do. Or do you want to save it for a regular episode and we can talk about people with superhuman strength?
It's the juicy stuff that we should give the patrons.
But then that could be, we could use it as a real episode about people that have like people that can see 3 miles away and pick out the turd on a thing. I don't know.
I'll save it if you want me to.
I think we could talk about that. Give them a taste. What'd you do? Butt stuff?
Scalding hot water on the taint.
Fucking, ugh. Don't say anything.
Got one of those detachable showers
I'm
now.
Done.
You know, what do you call it? You know, the shower head that you can pull off. And just saying, you know, cleaning the old undercarriage. And then you just crank that water up as hot as it'll fucking go.
Ugh.
And it's a thrill.
Save this one. I'm not ready for this. This is a Q&A.
Hot water tank. That's a punk band.
I queued and you aid, and I am the worst for it.
It was an accident. I wasn't trying. You know, it was just like, oh, okay, that feels good. Just hot. Oh, just fucking hot. I told you about how I used to scratch my poison.
I don't want it. All right, just save it. Save it for the game. Save it for the big stage.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got a spider bite that ate some of my flesh on my leg.
Oh, yeah?
I had spider bites all over my leg.
Crank up that hot water, dude.
It's been 12 minutes we've answered one question.
Okay.
You let one rip.
I don't know. Nick Click. Hey, guys, what food were you convinced you would hate but ended up loving? Well, when I was a teenager, I fucking hated mayonnaise. I don't know why. And then one day it clicked. Like, oh, I get it. Mayonnaise on everything.
I mean, I wouldn't go mayonnaise on everything, but I
not
grew
on
up,
everything.
I remember. Well, I've made it known within comedy. I'm a Miracle Whip guy,
mm-hmm.
And I remember the first time I had mayonnaise. I thought it was gross, just because Miracle Whip is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
It's a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
It's zesty. You know, it's got a little tang to it, but it's providing that lubrication in the sandwich. Get that bologna all slippery, slappery.
Yeah.
And then you put mayonnaise on there. Like, who's this? What's this fucking bum out?
Uh-huh.
It was a bummer.
Yeah.
It's not like I dislike. Now I'm like, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Not everything needs to be, you know, like a flavor chokehold. Sometimes subtlety is what you need.
I didn't have Indian food till I was 32. Just never had any interest in it. And where I kind of grew up, never had access to it.
I didn't eat any, I didn't
now
eat any of that stuff.
It.
Yeah. I didn't eat, I don't know when the first time I had it, but it may have been like in my late 20s.
Hmm.
Or like sushi. It took me a while to get into sushi. I didn't grow up with any of that. It was like very like, sushi was looked as pretentious. And then I realized when it came around, I think, kind of more in this. I'm judging based off one movie scene in Valley Girl. You see that movie?
Yeah.
And like Nick Cage is at the party in the valley. What are you like? What are you? What is this? And they're like, it's sushi, and they're making it themselves. I'm like, oh, that was probably like yuppies ate it.
Yeah.
And so therefore, my parents hated anything that was yuppie.
My parents too.
So I was like, fuck, we're not gonna eat that. Yeah. I'm like, then you realize, I'm like, oh, it's just good. Yeah. But maybe it was expensive and exotic and, you know, pretentious back in the day.
Well, and just the concept. If you're not an adventurous eater, raw fish.
It took me a while to get around it, too. Especially not, like, seafood being, like, I never fished. I didn't live by a lake, not an ocean. So it was just like, you just saw raw fish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I love it. Love it.
Yeah.
One of the few things I won't eat, though, I don't like the eel.
Really?
It's a texture thing.
You know what I don't mind, but it just bores the shit out of me, is when it comes to like raw fish and pokey and sushi, tuna. Just,
really?
I don't mind it, but it's just like the flavor does. It's just boring. Like, yeah. I like the salmon. I like some of the other stuff, but just I love scallop.
Yeah.
But just the big chunk.
Tuna's kind of letting the other things sing.
Yeah.
That's what I used to say about steakums. Never tell you about, you know about steakums?
I know steakums.
I used to be like, steakums, because sometimes you got to let the green pepper shine. Steakums were, that was supposed to be dog food. And
pretty low quality.
Somebody misshelved it and like, well, they're eating it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm let it go.
But like when you don't have access to a good Philly cheesesteak place, and it's like, hey, kind of in the mood for like a shitty Philly cheesesteak. Yeah. Get that.
Well, I didn't know what a Philly cheesesteak was. We would just have steakums. Just steakums on a plate. What's a steak? Like they're not sure.
Yeah.
Wasn't that so? Does somebody else have that joke?
I don't know.
I thought I got a lot of steakum material out there. Or maybe I was. I'm like, somebody had to have that joke. I'm like, nobody's talking about fucking steakums. Like they're not sure it's steak. Steak? Well, you know, that was the full title. I'm looking up steakums right now. Steakum jokes.
Eric Payne asks, what's the most ridiculous thing?
Eric Payne.
The most ridiculous thing. Most ridiculous thing you ever been tricked into believing? How did you find out it wasn't true? That's a good question. Tricked into believing.
I am so gullible.
I was 14 before I realized my dad was joking when, as a child, he told me he went to egg frying school. Dad used to cook breakfast on the weekends, like when I was a little bitty. And it was one day I was like four. Like, how you make your egg so good? And he was like, well, I went to egg frying school. And I really thought, like for 10 years, I thought just like, oh, that was just some vocational course he took or whatever down at the community college.
Yeah, I think it's specific with what type of dish you're trying to make.
And then literally it was until I was at least a teenager, I was like, oh, that was a joke. Oh, okay.
Jim Gaffigan has the steakum.
Oh, really?
Of course. He's got all the food. You got a food joke? You're not sure who does it? Jim Gaffigan does.
Oh, yeah.
I knew a guy out here was a pathological liar, and that came out later. And so much of the stuff he would talk about would be like Hollywood-type things. Mm-hmm. I knew this guy, and we'd all be like, yeah, we know you're full of shit, but you're fun, so we'd hang out. But then we went to – I might have told us when we went to In-N-Out Burger – I'm just gullible, and I don't appreciate it when that's taken advantage of. Mm-hmm. I'm a stupid person. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, you should get it elephant style. I was like, what's elephant style? And he's like, oh, they just put sautéed mushrooms on it. Like, that's believable. That's that a believable thing.
Because animal style is...
There's animal style. If you don't know In-N-Out Burger, you can get animal style, which means grilled onions and like Thousand Island or something. Yeah. And so you get it. I'm like, elephant style. I'm like, oh, I love mushrooms. So we're there. I'm like, I'm going to get a double-double elephant style. And the woman's just like, what? I'm like, elephant style. She's like, what? I don't. And now I'm like, it's the one with the mushrooms on it. Like, I took like,
yeah.
Come on, what do you know?
Yeah.
And she went through the trouble of turning around and pointing out their preparation table and just going, we don't even have mushrooms.
No, it's off the menu.
Yeah.
You probably don't even know.
She showed me that they don't even have mushrooms in the building. I was like, what the fuck?
That's
like,
funny.
What? And there's many examples. I thought Prince was a real prince. Like, not in a big way, but in a way that, like, maybe just through some paperwork, you know. Like, he married, you can't marry into like to be a prince.
Like an honorary degree.
Who is it? If you marry the daughter of a king and queen, If you marry a princess, does that make you a prince? Let's get to the hard-hitting questions, Dave. Well, let's talk about princesses.
Now that you bring it up, there's Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Did she ever have a husband who was king? Was there a king whomever?
Yeah.
In the last 30 years or whatever?
Boy, we are showing our colors.
When's the last time there was a king of England? My whole life I've always heard about Queen Elizabeth and, you know, what's her dopey son's name? The guy who was married to Princess Di? Prince, not William or
Charles.
Harry. Charles.
Charles.
Oh, that guy seemed like such a
She
dope.
Was the first child of the Duke and Duchess of York, later King George VI and Queen Elizabeth, and she was educated privately at home. Father acceded to the throne on the abdication.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's how that works, dumbass.
There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on this Wikipedia page. Yeah. How did we get here?
I don't know. I don't even.
Oh, because I thought Prince was a prince.
Yeah.
To up to like last year, like I thought like there was some technical paperwork that made him an actual prince.
Oh, man.
Of like a region that doesn't exist.
Yeah, that's pretty stupid.
Well, hey, you're asking? There you go. All right, let's see what we got. What do we got? We got, who's asking? Who's asking stuff?
Who the fuck wants to know? Where's my Tupperware? Phil Schult. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that. Schult. What's the first thing you saw that ever scared you as a kid?
Oh, man. I was always watching scary movies. Mm-hmm. I loved Twilight Zone, the movie. Like, if I, off the top of my head, I'm sure there's something even further back, but like I had said before, like as a little kid, like we got cable early on, mm-hmm. and my parents were like, let's shut them up, and they just, oh, we just watched whatever.
Yeah.
And so I watched like Creepshow.
Mm-hmm.
Creepshow, like even
Hellraiser
like
scared the shit out of me.
Hellraiser,
Pinhead. Oh my god,
there was yeah. Like
that's his name, right? Pinhead.
Pinhead. Yeah, for the Friday the 13th, and those were kind of all right, scary. Mm-hmm. Like they were chase you, jump out, scare. But there's something about Creepshow.
Yeah,
that was the vignettes too. So it's like, oh, that one's scary because it's. You know, bugs taking over the guy. That one's scary because a meteor infects him. Like, yeah. Oh, it's everything. You guys in one movie covered like, all this kind of scary shit, not just one monster. So,
TV wise,
show, yeah.
Okay. TV wise, first thing that scared me, like I said, Hellraiser was scary. But what really got me was when I was very young, 5, 6, 7 years old, whatever. As a family, we would watch whatever night it came on, Unsolved Mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
And the combination of Robert Stack's voice,
oh man,
was creepy.
Yeah.
But also at 5 or 6 years old, I did not understand, and I apologize if I've told this story before, I can't remember, but I didn't understand the concept of reenactment. So I thought the reenactment, I was like, who's ever got the camera? Why don't they put it down and arrest the guy? He's right there. They got him on camera. I didn't know it was a reenactment. But, man, that shit, because even then it did sink in of like, okay, this isn't a movie or TV show.
True
I understood
story
that
element,
this is
yeah.
a true story. And this guy's still on the loose somewhere. So the concept of like fugitives on the loose.
America's Most Wanted.
Yeah, America's Most Wanted. I was like, oh, shit, I hope it don't come to my neighborhood.
Yeah. You know?
But that used to scare the shit. I mean, the first thing I ever saw in person that scared me, when I was 11 years old, my family relocated from Woodstock, Georgia to Waleska, Georgia. And Waleska was very rural, very mountainous. And we had like a 4-acre lot with just a bunch of woods and on the side of a mountain. And one day, the first summer we moved up there, I'm like 11, maybe 12, and I'm just tromping around in the woods. I would just go on walks in the woods and just wander around.
Little kid, that's what you do.
But I got chased by a wild boar.
No shit. Got that happens in the video games to me.
Fucking wild boar.
Really?
I saw him. I'm kind of going down a real steep hill, so I'm walking, and probably 30, 50 yards away, I see this thing, and I'm like, and it's being still, and it looked like just a huge, fat, brown dog, and I'm like, what the hell's that? And it had tusks.
It did have a teeth coming out. Oh.
And sure enough, it started running up the hill towards me.
So these video games are accurate because they're sons of bitches in these video games.
And I don't know, you know, if he was really running at me or just in my direction. But fortunately, I wasn't too far down the hill. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was probably 20 yards from, like, the safety of my actual backyard outside of the wood line. So I just hauled ass up the wood. But I could hear him even snorting and
It
just scared the shit out of me.
According to Far Cry 4, they will kick the shit out of you. Mm-hmm. They'll kill you.
Yeah.
I remember laying in bed, the way my bed was, the headboard area of the bed was underneath the window, so the light would shine through and put the, you know, you'd see the shadows on the back wall that I'd look at, and it was, I don't know if it was our cat or somebody's cat, was on the ledge outside, but I'm just laying there and just seeing a shape, because it didn't look like a cat right away, and just a shape appear like it was looking into my room over my head.
Oh.
Like, because my head was, I was underneath the window, so it just looked like the shadow made it look like somebody was in my window, right above my head, looking in. I remember being paralyzed with fear until I saw like the tail snake up. I'm like, fucking cat.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember that was a, in person type of thing. That one got me.
Mm-hmm.
John Stevenson asked, my son Sam wants to know if you'd rather listen to an alien throwing up or a werewolf throwing up. Sam is 8 years old. I will entertain Sam's question.
What up, Sam?
Well, here's my take on it. I think a werewolf throwing up, that's just that they're already cleaning themselves, and that's a hairball. They're used to it. It's not miserable, so they got a routine.
Imagine the size of their hairball.
Oh, my
it's
God.
Like a fucking basketball.
Maybe it's smaller because it's still also kind of a man, so maybe a werewolf, like, do you just take a regular shower when you're done being a werewolf? Like, oh, man, that was a hell of a night. Yeah. Nah, I'm all dirty. And then you take a shower like a person. So... alien throwing up. Who knows? I would think aliens would be more advanced. Are they even eating food? Do they have a digestive system? Yeah. Or do they consume their proteins in a different manner? So, I think an alien throwing up would be weird because their heads are so big, and then you're leaning forward, they would screw up their balance.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather watch an alien throw up.
Hmm.
I don't know about listening. That's my answer.
Yeah. Okay.
You got one, Dave?
I don't know. I'd love to see either one of them. You know?
Okay.
Throw up, burp, take a dump, whatever. I'm just glad you're here.
Oh, man. There's a werewolf. Oh, he doesn't. I think he got the pasta primavera. Werewolf ate pasta primavera.
Oh. Alexandra Honesto. Is the H silent or not? Honesto. Being on the road so much, I imagine you've had your share of gas station eats. Any guilty pleasures when it comes to truck stop cuisine? I'll let you answer that one first, because I know your affinity for the 7-Eleven hamburger bite, as documented in one of your great specials.
I don't do that much anymore. Mm. You kind of, dare I say, you do grow out of it. You could look at food and go, it's not going to taste good, and I'm not going to feel good.
Every time I'm in 7-Eleven, I think about that joke when I see the hamburger bite. Just a hamburger in the shape of a hot dog.
Just a lonely tumbler.
Ugh.
In the South, I remember being excited first seeing like the fried chicken in the gas station.
Yeah, some of that's great.
And some of it's not.
Yeah.
Some of it is like, you made this.
Yeah.
This chicken still has Christmas decorations on it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what I eat. I get the, honestly, jalapeno cheddar. Cheetos.
Okay.
Best chip I buy a long shot for me.
Huh.
And I'm categorizing. I'm putting Cheetos in with the chip category.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, so as far as gas station eats, nothing loose. I don't get anything loose. I get prepackaged items. In the jerky days, I love a jerky. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
It's hard to fuck it up.
Yeah, that's true.
So...
I'm going to go with, I guess it's somewhat regional, maybe in the Southeast and Midwest, but Quick Trip, QT.
Oh, yeah.
Big gas station chain. Great, great gas station. Just, man, they've really crossed their T's and dotted their I's over there at the QT. But, man, they I don't know if they still have it. They have the taquitos that are on the little tumblers, the little rollers. And
taquitos, yeah, that's classic.
Solid.
That's a
solid.
Classic item.
And let me tell you this, especially in the South, talking about like gas station fried chicken, where I grew up in Waleska, like I said, we had one little gas station. It was a BP. But it was mom and pop owned. It wasn't like a corporate BP. It was
a little mom and pop. That was then just franchised.
Had, yeah, it was a franchise out. They had the BP logo, and that was it. But and I've seen a lot of this in the South. If you run across like a mom and pop gas station, like just an old shitty white cinder block, whatever, many of them will make they'll make hot food, sandwiches and stuff, but breakfast biscuits. Like sausage biscuit, bacon, egg, and cheese, steak, egg, and cheese. Some of it looks, you know, sketchy because if you look behind the counter, like all the ingredients are just different Tupperware tubs or just random loose bowls. That's where we keep the eggs. That's where we keep the bacon.
They mixed it up at home.
But solid. Some of that shit. The BP in Waleska, Georgia, at the intersection of Highway 108 and Reinhardt College Parkway, used to have just absolutely amazing, just homemade. You know, every morning they cook up probably 3 or 4 dozen biscuits, you know, and a bunch of sausage patties, bunch of bacon.
Would people go there just for the breakfast?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, you fill up your while the car's filling up with gas, you run in, pay for it, grab you a bacon, egg, and cheese or something. Mm-hmm. Oh man, solid, just good. I think just the fact that it was just this isn't the best, but it's homemade. It's not mass produced, you know, weird McDonald's. You know, fake egg bullshit. Like, this isn't the best biscuit I've ever had, but somebody made this from scratch, and it's pretty solid for $2 on a Monday morning.
I will take that tip from McDonald's, having the disc to crack your egg into for the perfect size. Mm-hmm. Nice one.
Yeah, that was smart. Whoever came up with that.
Lee Singleton, if you become a ghost after death, would you rather haunt your house or your favorite restaurant or bar? Wow.
Probably a restaurant or bar, because at least it can
change up what's going on.
Be a drunk ghost. Just get hammered at the bar. But like your house, I spent my whole life here. I spent years here. There's nothing here.
It's just going to be the same people in there doing their own dumb shit.
And the same things.
Although, for curiosity-wise, it might be more interesting to be able to spy on somebody in their own home. You see somebody out in public, they're going to act like they're in public. But you ever think, what if somebody saw what you're doing? What if somebody saw you chewing your own toenails off in your own home? Hmm. Wasn't that... Oh, that was the Saturday Night Live ghost. I forget who was doing it. I think Patrick Swayze, but they did it like it was a ghost. But whoever was playing, like, his love interest was alive, was, like, chewing her toenails and stuff. And he's just like, oh, man. Patrick Swayze. Gone too soon. I don't know. Restaurant or bar, because, you'd always be around fun stuff. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have to be part of sad stuff.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
But haunting, you know, you get lonely. You want to get to know somebody, you know. Mm-hmm. You'd be bartender during lunch. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Joey Pancakes. It's a great handle.
Nice. Joseph Flapjacks.
Joey Pancakes says, how do I kick my daily lunch sandwiches up a notch?
Miracle Whip.
Miracle Whip or Sriracha Mayo. Just squirt some
bread
sriracha.
And butter pickle chips.
Bread and butter pickles.
Change up the bread.
Put some Doritos in there.
Oh, go for crunch.
Some Ruffles.
Try some pine nuts. I don't know. I put them on a salad. I liked them on a salad. Yeah.
Spicy mayonnaise, you know.
Yeah, they got all kinds of different types of mayonnaise out there.
Yeah. I used to do this. I'm sure this might have been a thing. I don't know where.
Make sure you do the meat wave with your slices.
Yeah. What's that?
Where you kind of like.
Oh, right, right. Yeah. Yeah, like, you can't just have a
perm,
flat.
You know, perm it and make it look like a nice perm.
I used to take mayonnaise and then I would dice up some black olives real fine and just throw it in the mayonnaise and mix it up. So I would have black olive mayonnaise.
Ooh, all right.
Why not?
Okay.
Yeah. Have some fun there, Joey.
CH, if I see either of you out and about in real life, not at a show venue, is it cool to say hi or just pretend that I have no idea who you are? Asking since I'm pretty sure I've seen Kyle at Portillo's or you know a dude with a beard with similar tats. I mean, everybody likes Portillo's.
Don't fucking say hey to me, CH. You see me, you keep fucking moving. I don't know you. You don't know me.
Well,
of course not, dude.
Just drop the bag of cash and go.
Of course, say hello. What kind of a fucking dickhead like would get annoyed that somebody recognized them and said hello.
You know what it is? It's the social cue thing. Like, all right, if somebody's eating,
well, yeah.
And, but yeah, like, hey, how's it going? But oh, thanks. Hey, good. I'd be more than happy. I'm glad. But then I've had it where it's like, all right, I'm clearly, you know, having a kind of conversation and somebody's just like hovering.
Yeah.
And it's like at a, that's after a show though, yeah. But yeah, just, I mean, be a regular person.
Yeah, just, yeah.
We're regular people.
I just can't imagine me ever getting offended. Like, yeah, I get it. All right, you're eating dinner with your family and someone's trying to spend 5 minutes taking a picture or something. That's one thing. But just to, hey, man, what's up, dude? Like your shit, whatever.
Yeah, of course. I'm still in the I appreciate it mode.
Yeah, oh, I totally appreciate it.
But in somebody else, I forget, I read the question and I forgot who wrote it about what's your favorite gift somebody's given you after a podcast? We both share, like, the gifts are not, on the road's a bit tough because sometimes, like, you don't have a place to put it. Like, yeah. You and me both, well, if you're driving, you got a van. But
yeah,
I'm like, I got a backpack with all my stuff in it for 7 days.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the gifts. And then sometimes I'm like, oh, shit, I can't take this with me. It's nice. You don't have to do that stuff. It's very nice of you to do that.
I appreciate it.
It's very generous.
Some great folks in Chicago last time I was there gave me a chef's knife. And I get all kind of great gifts. And yeah, I appreciate the shit out of it.
Wipe that thing off.
Yeah. Dude in Bellingham, homemade apple pie.
Yeah.
Delicious homemade apple pie. The one I
found. Another guy was going to kick your ass for you. He was going to help you out. Your ass looks like it needs to be kicked. Let me do it.
Yeah. But no, I get the whole, if you're flying, hey, thanks for this. You know, handle of bourbon, but I can't.
That nice fella in Virginia. I'm like, man, go drink that and pretend it. We're all sharing it with you.
But most of the time, I'm on tour. I'm in the van, so I got room. So bring it on.
Yeah, and some people don't know if you're out driving, so I understand it. But say hi.
Yeah,
especially if I'm at Portillo's.
Mm-hmm.
What was I eating? If I was eating a jumbo chili dog with one jumbo chili with one everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's my order.
Still never been to Portillo's.
Well, I mean, it's...
I gotta go.
Not, I don't know what to tell you.
Caitlin Collins. Kyle described his process of choosing what to eat by visualizing the globe. Any areas of the world he doesn't like to visit cuisine-wise?
Haven't found them yet.
I wonder what place has the worst food. And not just like, ooh, this is foreign to me or different, but like,
well,
yeah, nobody in the right mind
would
like this.
England and Scotland notoriously have bland, boring food. I mean, that's the joke. Oh, English food is blah. I love a full English breakfast, though.
Yeah. Now, what comes with that?
If I can remember.
A tomato slice?
You get like a grilled tomato, just a whole tomato grilled.
The whole round tomato?
Yeah,
or
just some tomato component, but usually I remember it being like a whole tomato. Just tomato component grilled.
Gotcha.
Their type of bacon, which is kind of like just more a big piece of ham.
Uh-huh.
Eggs, baked beans. I love the baked beans.
That's weird, but yeah, okay.
And oh, I got that Branston pickle sauce here.
Really?
You want a jar of that?
Yes.
I mean, it's old as fuck.
So?
But it's been closed up.
Branston pickle sauce?
Branston with a T. Branston pickle sauce. It's like... You can taste some of it here and find out. It's kind of like a more, this is going to sound like disgusting. It's like a more gelatinous type of A1 with chunks of pickles chopped up in it. And it's kind of tough to tell what to put it on, but then you put it on anything, you're like, oh, this is a new flavor and I like it.
You made your own version of that one time, didn't you? Didn't you chop up some pickles and put it in some A1 and try to call it barbecue sauce?
I was trying to remake the Branston. No, I got Branston here.
Okay.
I brought some back from when I played in Glasgow, which was many years ago. So let's see how that's... But it looks like a food that would...
Speaking of pickles and speaking of gifts, I forgot who it was, but a few weeks ago somebody mailed us a care package, and in that care package was a big old bag of pickle-flavored pretzel twists. Solid.
Yeah, I didn't like, even... this is the first time hearing about that.
Yeah, sorry about that. He only mailed one. So
they
all come to the office and I do the inventory control on that. But I think I still got some left. I'll bring them over next
time.
Don't
bring it. You don't have to.
Oh, buddy. Let's see.
Nathan Willis has a good one.
Yeah?
I don't think it's a question. He just says, Kyle and Dave, please come to a few shows in Dubai and Abu Dhabi. Yeah, Southwest goes there, right? It says, we have booze and pork, the two magic ingredients, and some super rad dune bashing. Both of you can crash at my place, borrow my Toyota Land Cruiser for some dune bashing, raid my booze cabinet, and Dave and I can smoke a pork shoulder on my smoker on the back porch.
Sounds
I can.
Good.
You're doing all right out there.
Sounds good.
How big is your place? If this is where does he live? Dubai or Abu Dhabi? All right, that's it. Boogie Monster, Middle East. That's a region that we have not explored any type of cryptid or what kind of topic we should get in our stories that come out of the Middle East. Obviously, you got the alien connection with the pyramids. You got the curses around
all that.
All that
pyramid stuff's fascinating.
We should be more geographically oriented.
Yeah.
That's a good one. All right. Yeah. Hey, man, let us know, Nathan Willis. We'll come there and we'll do, I'm sure we got a huge following.
Billy Wayne Davis joke, Dubai is like if a rapper built a town. Built a city, I'm sorry. A rapper built a city.
Oh, BWD.
Went to the Middle East. You know, you can just go there. You can just go.
What do you got? What do you got?
You
could just go.
You could just go there.
I was reading questions when you said that to me.
Omar Strong Tower. Now that's a fucking name.
Man.
What's up, Omar? Omar's hollered at us on Twitter and whatnot. I remember Omar. That's a good name, Omar. Omar Strong Tower. Jesus Christ. You got to be a superhero, dude. What if skinwalkers are actually aliens? I mean, Native Americans are one of the first people here, but maybe they came from outer space. Man, I've been really getting fascinated.
Wait,
about
what
that
was that
concept.
One?
What if skinwalkers are actually aliens? Native Americans here first, but maybe they came from outer space. Well, we were talking in one episode about, I think it might have been the Phil Schneider episode or something, about just the concept of what if some aliens aren't from space? What if they are just the first inhabitants of planet Earth? Like the ones that Phil Schneider ran into a bunch of underground aliens.
Oh, yeah, like, that, what if, that guy.
What if aliens have been here way before, been on Earth or underground or something way before humans?
I mean, that still lends to itself to, like, are there places that are so unexplored that we haven't discovered them, or that are just so top secret that we're covering it up that well? Mm-hmm.
Skinwalker, I mean, are skinwalkers aliens? Like, that's...
But then why, just a malicious strain that happened to, excuse me, participate or be around for the Native Americans? Mm-hmm. Or do they, you know, like, so they, I don't know.
Native Americans.
That's a good one. That skinwalker shit, though. That creeped myself out when I pulled over driving back from my trip, and I was just kind of outside. I left White Sands. I just pulled over and found, I wanted to find a dark road because there was like lightning storms going on in the distance in the desert. So I pulled over and just put some stuff out, like made a little chair for myself and was just drinking a beer. And it's always that stage of, okay, I'm in the middle of nowhere. First, what if there's snakes or things like that? Mm-hmm. And I get bit. And then it's, what if there's just a murderer out there? What if there's a sniper? Why wouldn't there just be a sniper somewhere if they wanted to just snipe and they could just snipe?
Yeah.
And then it's like, man, this is skinwalker country. There's skinwalkers out here right now. And I creep myself out.
Oh, watch out.
Uh-oh.
Tennessee barking spider.
Yeah, yeah. Got termites in this chair. Mm-hmm. But, I don't know. Those, why are they? I still lean towards aliens are benevolent.
Yeah, I'd like to think so.
And I think there are some sort of future more developed from a similar planet to Earth. That's why these aliens, we always go with aliens looking like us still. Like I've said that before.
Yeah.
Two arms, two legs, walking upright, got a head with eyes and all that shit.
Yeah.
Aliens can be microscopic. Aliens can be like a coral reef.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Could just be this organism that's miles long. And that's an alien. I mean, you don't know.
Could be an octopus.
Could be a big octopus.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Stike Leather. Stike! He runs Roico Customs and paints all these rad guitars.
Oh, yeah. He's always hollering at us on Instagram and stuff.
Yeah. And he just did a guitar for Action Dinosaur I'm excited about. And I saw him the other week in Richmond.
Hmm.
Super good dude. And he asks, what are y'all's favorite bits of each other's?
Oh, man.
I'm still, I love the glop in the bucket.
That one's never been made it to an album. That's the B-side.
For those, yeah, I'm going to butcher it, but it's Dave just fascinated that you're a type of guy that gay guys are into.
Uh-huh.
Didn't it start because a guy came up to your van when you were parked by Laughing Skull, and it's across from like a real, like an athletic gay bar?
Yes and no. Like, I don't know that exact incident, but
Like, it's like, it was like you're probably like by that place with all those diesel fucking dudes,
yeah,
in there.
Yeah, it's a Bulldogs is a gay club, yeah, right across from the Laughing Skull Lounge in Midtown Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And it's I don't know much about like gay culture because I'm straight as fuck. But no, I think it's like a what do they call it? Like a down low bar. And again, I apologize for my ignorance, but down low is like a black gay dude who's, mm-hmm, who's on the down low. He's not really,
yeah,
too,
yeah,
open,
not,
about it.
Yeah.
But that's where that bar. And more than one time, that we kind of hang out on the sidewalk. And one time, I swear to God, a bunch of Georgia Bulldog fans walked by. It was like a Saturday in the fall, and they're like, hey, where's a good place to catch the game? And we're like, Bulldogs right there. That's a Georgia bar. It's called Bulldogs. Go in there. Have fun.
There you go, fellas. And,
but yeah, no, I used to get – that's the first time because Midtown Atlanta, very, very gay neighborhood, very, yeah, gay-friendly, and, you know, big gay clientele there. Laughing Skull Lounge inside of the Vortex Bar and Grill.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously in that neighborhood, a lot of gay dudes hanging out and, you know, always nice and friendly. But, like, I just remember, like, man – these guys are a little too friendly to me. And then, you know, one of my buddies, yeah, is like, yeah, because you're a fucking bear, dude. They, yeah, think you're a bear. I was like, oh, shit, yeah. I didn't really, you know, connect the dots. But, yeah, the joke is just about me being a terrible male prostitute. And I'm running down the menu.
Yeah.
For 35, I'll poke you in the mouth. for 50, I'll give you a tug and plug. And for 65, you can watch me glop in this bucket.
So, didn't a guy come up to your van? He's like, you want me to stretch it out for you?
Twice a guy came. One
twice.
Guy, two different times I got propositioned. One guy came up and he said, hey, man, you want me to hop in there and stretch it out? And I didn't know what he meant. And I, to this day, did he mean he's going to fuck me in the ass and stretch out my butthole? Or is he going to give me a boner and stretch out my dick? I don't know. I don't know what he meant. But regardless, I said, nah, I'm good. And then another time a guy came by and he just told me, he let me know that, hey, I got that good head. And I was like, that's cool, man. You go out there and have some fun.
He had the good head.
He's got that good head.
He was going to give you the good head.
Yeah, uh-huh. Which, hey, I'm just flattered that anybody gives a shit.
When you, when you're touting it with confidence, man, that'd test my,
yeah, he's got that good
test
head.
My heterosexuality.
I never understand homophobic dudes get fucking offended. Don't hit on me. Who gives a shit? How do you think women feel every fucking day?
Yeah.
You know, just, ah, thanks, dude, but I'm good.
I think it's,
you don't got to be a dick about it.
Yeah, I think it's insecurities.
Favorite bit of yours? Man, I don't know. Just off the top of my head, that fucking shit in a bar bit is fucking
old classic.
Great. So many good. I like the subtle parts of it too. Just the everything's happening. Just some of the friends. Just like, so I'm sitting there. Everything's happening. Hey, man. You taking a shit?
It's one of those, if you tell jokes enough where you don't remember, you remember your story, but mm-hmm, you don't remember the facts.
Yeah.
And I never feel like, it's not lies,
mm-hmm,
but it's exaggerated for entertainment.
For comedic effect.
Yeah. But I'm trying, because those were all like my super hard drinking, those were, but I would get drunk at those things, but I just remember, yeah, I just remember walking back to the gig like, what a town. I remember being so excited.
And did he really post up for a high five?
Yeah, I think he high-fived me.
So you high-fived another man while you were moving your bowels.
Yeah, because this guy was kind of just a townie, mm-hmm, gangster, but it was like, yeah, man, I'm not scared. You going to be scared?
Yeah.
I'm like, no. Yeah. Okay, we're not scared.
Good for you.
You shit, I'm here.
Oh, boy.
But yeah, that should That's how bad the bathrooms were at that. Now I realize I just wipe a seat off and I'm fine. I don't care. I just wipe it off anywhere.
I'm ready to shit at a moment's notice.
Yeah.
I'll dump anywhere.
That was, I think, a precursor to that joke. I was like, yeah, I know I'm a drunk because I'll just shit in a bar now. I don't care. Let's see. What do you got?
Oh, man. I don't know. There's so many. So many to choose from. Sean Poulter, what animal would a vampire fuck to create a gremlin? Think about it. Gremlins also melt in sunlight. Gremlins, what, a cross between a werewolf and a hamster?
I don't know, because there's a slimy... Oh, no, the slimy ones are what happened.
Gremlins, the slimy one. I'm thinking of, like, Mogwai or, you know, before...
Mogwai's the nice one.
Yeah. I think Mogwai is a product of a...
vampire. Well, Mogwai is bad. Wait.
A werewolf and a hamster.
They don't melt in the day.
Think about the gremlins also... Yeah, they melt. Yeah, keep them out of the sun. Don't feed them after midnight. And don't get them wet. Right? Those are the three rules. But a gremlin, okay,
I thought
vampire,
you could put a Mogwai.
Vampire fucked a lizard, maybe? That's a gremlin?
Mogwai rules. Second in the Google search of just typing Mogwai. No bright light. Mm. Bright light just makes him nuts. It hurts his eyes. Oh, and sunlight can kill him. All right. Mm-hmm. And don't get him wet. All right. Well, then a vampire fucked a... I don't know. People think vampires are sexy, but I bet they're real drips in the sack. You know, yeah, they probably only do like that slow, like, yes, do you enjoy this? Yes. It's like, oh, man, just loosen up.
Yeah.
Can't, you know,
take themselves too seriously.
Throw your hips into it. Yeah, yeah, have fun with it. You're fucking.
Oh, man. I don't know what joke this is from, but speaking of each other's bits, whatever joke was, just going to lay on top of you and wiggle.
Yeah, I don't even remember what that was.
Going to lay on top of you and wiggle.
See what that.
That's how Kyle fucks. Oh, God. That's funny. Brad Price asks, what are your thoughts on Gwar? They seem right up both you guys' alleys, seeing as they're an alien heavy metal band. Also, should I make the 8-hour round trip to South Carolina show? I have a class at 9 a.m. the next morning, so I'm conflicted. Yeah, man, you should definitely make that trip. Come on, Brad. We'll have a fucking blast.
Gwar, there was a Gwar bar in Richmond where I guess they had all their old costumes hanging up. Admittedly, never...
I've never listened to them.
Never listened to them.
I know who they are. I see the video.
I appreciate what they do.
Uh-huh. But like, I couldn't name a song.
They played on Halloween in Chicago all the time, and I never went. Mm. So I'm kind of I'm indifferent towards Gwar. I'm happy for their existence and what they do.
I'm glad that kind of stuff exists. But I've never sat down and listened to their stuff. I mean, I see it kind of hear it in my peripheral, but I couldn't name you a song or whatever. But hey, you know. Yeah, alien heavy metal band, more power to you. Do it up.
Brian Lee says, will you guys go to the Apple Pan and try the Hickory Burger if I pay for the gas and meal on Patreon?
Yes.
I live in NOLA and heard that burger was the shit.
Have you ever been?
I went years ago, and I just remember being like, eh.
They're small, right? They're not necessarily sliders, but they're kind of a smaller hamburger.
No, it's like a diner burger.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Well, I thought they were like... a McDonald's cheeseburger.
No, it was like a diner burger, and the whole thing is, I think that Apple Pan is like a steamed burger. They just put the pan over it and steam the burger, which that's the way. Best burger I ever had was when Rachel. We made some last year after Bridgetown. We drove to her grandfather at a ranch in Winston, Oregon, and we bought the ingredients and made it, but did the little steam thing with a bowl on top of it.
Uh-huh.
And it was just, I mean, it was a home cooking good, but it tasted, I'm like, oh, damn.
Yeah. That's a little restaurant trick. Like when I was at the Albert flat top grill, cooking a burger, throw the cheese on, and then we had the little cap, a little bowl of cap, and you squirt a little water
in there so it steams it up.
Melts that cheese real quick.
Yeah.
Because sometimes if you're waiting, if you're waiting for the cheese to melt on the burger, if you put the cheese on too late, then you're going to overcook the burger waiting to melt the cheese. So then you got all kind of problems.
Oh, okay. So, okay. Yeah.
That's what happens.
I'd go with you to watch you eat it, although I think there's
I think there's better burgers. It would show up on this list of great burgers, and then burgers became a thing.
Yeah.
I think it kind of bumped it off there.
What is
now
the
it's
best-
just out of cl- just out of obligation. Like, it's been there forever. It's an mm-hmm. institution.
What's the best burger in L.A.?
Man. Honestly, Burbank Bar and Grill. I liked their burger. It was nothing special. It was just guys would do it. Maybe because, you know what, when I was eating it back then, I was living in Burbank and working at an office job, and occasionally I'm like, I'm going to treat myself. Instead of just getting fast food or something, mm-hmm. I'm going to get that.
Never been there.
That burger. Fast food burger, get you that bacon double del from Del Taco, baby. It's counterintuitive, but get you that get you that shitty Big Mac ripoff with bacon on it.
Shake Shack's the best burger I've had in L.A.
I still haven't been to Shake Shack.
Solid, dude. Real good.
I got a coupon for a free hot dog from Shake Shack. I've had that shit for years, and I keep forgetting to go.
Let's go. Anybody in Atlanta, one of the best burgers I've ever had, especially in Atlanta, the Albert. Of course, I'm biased. Used to work there. Shout out to my buddy.
Oh, Albert's shit.
Shout out to my buddy Paul Galwa running that kitchen now. The Diner Burger. They call it the Diner Burger. It's
that
a double burger. Two
burger.
Thin patties, American cheese, red onions, and mustard. That's
yeah,
it.
Girl.
That's it. No modifications. Don't add. Don't subtract. This is what you get if you want the Diner Burger. It's just a nice double burger. American cheese, red
burger.
Onion, mustard, really nice, soft, fresh bakery bun. It is solid. I think there's pickles on it, too. I think there might be pickles on it. Yeah. But, man, solid, solid, solid burger. The Diner Burger at the Albert. Definitely worth
but
a trip.
Yeah, Brian Lee wants to take you to Patreon. I'll get some fries and I'll watch you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll go. Yeah. Of course. Will you go eat this food if I pay for it? Yes. Hillary,
we'll just go eat it. You don't even have to worry about it. But.
Hillary Gay asked, I believe you both mentioned dabbling in veganism at one point or another. Any particular vegan food stuff you enjoyed? I was never a vegan. I have a bit about it. It sounds like a joke. It's not a joke. I was a vegetarian for 3 years. Fat vegetarian. Good job.
You weren't vegan when you were doing that smoothie thing?
Oh, I was vegan that. But yeah, that was just.
But that was like a. You were getting paid.
Yeah, I was getting paid. I mean, it wasn't a willing choice.
Yeah. Went,
but yeah, I did a raw vegan smoothie diet for 90 days. But yeah, right around the time I started comedy, 3 years vegetarian, and my girlfriend at the time was vegan. Mm-hmm. She got me into it, and the whole time she kept pressuring me to just go all the way vegan. I'm like, hey, I'm already doing the vegetarian thing. Give me a. I got to eat a little cheese. Leave me alone. But back then. One of my favorite things it was just getting the tofu. I'd get the big wedge, the big block, you know, tofu, and I had some method where I would put a plate on top of it and then set something weighted and heavy on top of that plate to kind of slowly squeeze that water out. I wanted to get it as dry as possible.
Okay.
The big block of tofu, you gotta get all that water and moisture out of
it.
So I'd let that sit out for an hour or two and just slowly press it down and get all the moisture out. And then I just chop it up into like little rectangles, little strips and rectangles, and just real hot pan.
Fry it up,
sear it, get it kind of crispy, the edges and everything.
Yeah.
Then toss that shit in buffalo sauce. So I'd have tofu buffalo fingers.
I could get into that. Tofu without frying it, I'm like, ah.
It is boring.
It feels like a government-issued food. Like, here's your protein. Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. But yeah, you fry it up and toss in some wing sauce, man. That was solid. And then I'd make like a vegan ranch or blue cheese or something.
Yeah.
And, real solid. What do you?
I don't know. I never know what's vegan and what's vegetarian. I'm like, if it's not meat in it, I'm all right. And I never know. I'll still go to Doomies once in a while, which is a vegan junk food place. Yeah. And you'll feel like shit after you eat that, just like you would it at a Wendy's. So it does its job.
But what vegan or vegetarian, whatever, what is your favorite meal that's when you're going meatless?
I still. Like my bullshit, I like Fresh Brothers Pizza, where you could get the vegan sausage and then jardiniere, because it's kind of close to Chicago roast beef and jardiniere.
Do they do a vegan pizza with the soy cheese or something?
No, it's just vegetarian. Okay. I'm trying to think of vegan stuff. Okay. I go to Doomies, and that's all vegan, so I'll get like their whatever. I got their Memphis burger with like onion rings and their fake pulled pork on top of the burger with barbecue sauce. And I haven't had a favorite thing. I always liked Fat Burger, and then you can get a Fat Burger with the Impossible Patty in it. But Fat Burger's good because it's got all the good toppings. We were talking about this with the episode, like a Fuddruckers.
Yeah,
that's a good, but that's not vegan. I don't know. I love a wedge salad. see if you can get vegan blue cheese dressing.
Yeah.
And I would crush almonds instead of bacon. I would crush smokehouse almonds to put on there instead of bacon.
That's solid.
And slice up some little cherry tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta love a wedge.
Yeah, I like a wedge.
let's see. What else we got? Remember the comedy question? Well, TJ Partridge, he's always
yeah, what's up? TJ is he's the dude that I ate Helen Ray's with.
Oh, really?
Yeah, big old giant dude. He's like 7 feet tall.
Really?
Not that tall, but he's a big dude.
He's a big son of a
bitch.
Yeah,
Dallas-Fort Worth area comic.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
He says, hey, dudes, what's your recommendation on submitting to comedy clubs to try and get some time? You know what? I didn't fuck with the clubs that much. In Chicago, at the time when I was there, there was only Zanies. Mm-hmm. And I would just do all the local shows. Now, the manager, not the guy who owns Zany, but the manager, Martine, was always cool. And he'd always just let me hang in the back. Mm-hmm. And I would buy beers. But he would, like, if there was room, he would let me sit there and watch shows. And it wasn't really his. If he didn't care about the headliner, sometimes I'd get a spot. But otherwise, it's like, oh, you kind of got to ask the headliner. Mm-hmm. But he didn't book it. So it was just kind of, yeah, go for it, man. He was just a nice guy. Clubs, I don't know. If the club has an open mic night, then you do that open mic night and you try and crush it on that open mic.
Yeah.
Because they're actively doing that so they can farm team, you know, get people in there.
Yeah.
And then they're going to want to see you be able to host.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's the old school way. Yes. They're going to want to see you be able to host, which means...
Newer comics, don't pretend you're above hosting. It's an important skill.
And also, but also, I was just never hosting. I'm like, I want to do my jokes. Mm-hmm. It's not your job as a host. You can get jokes in there, but your job is to get the crowd warmed up, even if it's hacky. Have that as your host set. Yeah. You know you can do, you know, feature, crush a spot, but when it comes like, all right, here I am, thanks, here's what's going on here, the show's coming up, how's everybody doing? Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of places want you to not work blue, don't be a fucking weirdo, or do your challenging material.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
one thing I used to do when I'd mess with clubs a lot, coming up as a feature or whatever, outside of my hometown, if there were clubs like within a 4-hour drive that I really wanted to work, I wanted to feature at or get work at, I would just send them an email and I would lie and I would say, hey man, going to be in the area next Thursday night. Any chance I could do a guest spot?
Yeah.
Just trying to, you know, send them a clip. Hey, I'm going to be in the area. I would always say that, you know, rather than the desperation of I'm willing to drive 5 hours to do 5 minutes, you know, but I was like, man, I really want to get in that club. And it paid off a couple times. I did that with you one time. You were doing Bloomington years ago when I was still in Atlanta, and I was visiting my brother in Louisville, and I was like, oh, Kyle's going to be, he's doing the Comedy Attic next week. So I just sent that Jared guy. He's like, hey, I'm going to be in the area next week. Could I come by and do a guest spot? And he gave me a guest spot. And then I got some feature work. And
were there? Is that the first time I met you?
Oh, no, no. No, I had known. We met.
We were just hanging out.
First time we met was when you were in Atlanta doing Gilbert's show.
Oh, okay.
But we had, I'd known you for a little while, but I was like, oh, Kyle's going to be two hours away.
Yeah, that's a good, if there's a headliner you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another
good one. That's a good, hey, do you mind if I drop by and do a guest spot?
Mm-hmm. Because at most clubs, the headliner kind of runs the club for the weekend.
Yeah,
so like even if the club owner's like, well, I never heard of this guy, but Kyle wants him to do a spot.
I'm giving him time, so that helps.
But yeah, don't be afraid to drive and just do a guest spot. Hey, I'll come work for free just to show you, Mr. Club Owner or Booker, that I'm worth a shit. And then, you know, maybe you can get some work out of that. So, yeah. Got to hustle, man. Get out there.
Okay. Ty Babb, have you heard that Wright-Patterson Air Force Base is the new Area 51? Is that the one?
That's the one in Ohio, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like near Dayton?
Yeah, well, you were already talking about that one.
Yeah,
that
some was weird like, shit has gone on there. Yeah, there's that keeps popping up in a lot of these stories is Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. I don't have any off the top of my head, but a lot of the stuff we've researched over the last couple of years, Wright-Patterson keeps popping up, so... Yeah.
Looking at where it is, right by Dayton.
Something to keep an eye on. I think Ryan Singer's got stories about that. He's from Dayton.
Oh, maybe that's why. Closer to D.C. for any kind of nefarious shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going all the way to Nevada for it. Ooh, okay. That's, I mean, it's, it has popped up in our story, so all right, good one.
Jake Figgalow. Don't have a question, but I do have a request. Please have Sean Patton on the podcast as New Orleans Mothman so we can get a good banter going. Feels like there's gold and then there are hills, and you are correct, Jake. Sean Patton might be my favorite comedian. God damn it.
I think that's...
I love Sean. I love Sean as a comic. I love Sean as a person. But, man, his Nolans bit. Nolans. No one says fucking Nolans. But yeah.
Bayou monster.
New Orleans Mothman. Man, Sean is so fucking funny. Just a fucking maniac, too. Love Sean.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah,
I agree.
We'll make that happen. Let's get Sean.
I'm dip into that. Dip into that world. Tom Clark. I don't know if that's a comedian, Tom Clark. Or if it's just Tom Clark, a guy named Tom Clark.
Comedian somebody. Tom Clark's cousin was my manager at Longhorn Steakhouse 15 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, this nice guy named Mark. I remember his name, Mark DePrima.
I thought his name was Mark Clark.
Mark DePrima. Just a, you know, some of those jobs, you just have so many shithead managers. But this, like, oh, this guy's just a solid dude.
Yeah.
And it was way before I even started comedy, but he liked comedy, and we would talk about comedy sometimes. Yeah. And he wasn't a bullshitter, but he's like, hey, you know, my cousin's a comedian and an actor. And I go, who? And he goes, Tom Clark. And I didn't know who that was. And he goes, the assistant coach in The Water Boy. I was like, you remember The Water Boy, Adam Sandler?
Yeah, I didn't know Tom Clark was
the guy with the cage. Ah, blah, blah, just cut high, big alien. He's just like wearing a straw hat and overalls. Blah, blah, blah.
No, that's Larry Clark.
Larry Clark. That's who I'm thinking of.
No, Tom.
But Larry Clark was Mark DePrima's cousin. So anyway, apropos of nothing.
That story was pointless.
But yeah, Larry Clark.
Well, Tom Clark is a comic from Milwaukee that I know.
But do you know Mike Clark? Let me tell you a story about him.
Remember
that
Dave Clark 5? There's 5 of them. They had to start a band. Tom Clark says, what are your thoughts on the treasure in the Rockies hidden by this old millionaire, Forrest Fenn? Have you heard about this fella?
No.
This guy, I think it's the dude who put the... Let me see if it's the same guy. Here's an article that is on CNBC. So just... somewhere in the Rockies and roughly 1,000 miles between Santa Fe, New Mexico and the Canadian border may be a treasure chest worth millions. A man who claims to have hidden the fortune back in 2010 is Forrest Fenn, now 87, a former Vietnam fighter pilot and art dealer. And I think he left a poem. No, here it is. The main piece of guidance Fenn has offered is a cryptic 24-line poem he wrote in a self-published memoir, The Thrill of the Chase. And so I'll read the poem to you so everybody has a chance at it. Anywhere in the Rocky Mountains, millions of dollars. As I have gone alone in there, and with my treasure bold, I can keep my secret where, and hint of riches new and old. That doesn't say shit. Begin it where warm waters halt, and take it in the canyon down. Not far, but too far to walk. Put in below the home of Brown. So there's some clues. You got to that. So who's Brown's home? Below the house. I don't know. From there, it's no place for the meek. The end is ever drawing nigh. There'll be no paddle up your creek. Just heavy loads and water high. So some rough waters.
Loads.
If you've been wise and found the blaze, look quickly down your quest to cease. But Terry Scant with Marvel, whatever, you could look it up, and it's a poem that is supposed to, but a couple people have died looking for it now, and I think they I think he may be this is a quote from him. The treasure chest is not underwater, nor is it near the Rio Grande River. It is not necessary to move large rocks or climb up and down a steep precipice, he writes. Please remember that I was about 80 when I made 2 trips from my vehicle to where I hid the treasure. The search is supposed to be spun. You know what? I hope this is true. Uh-huh. And thanks for this guy for putting a little bit of, mystery in the world.
Uh-huh.
So, Tom Clark, my thoughts are,
I don't know why a millionaire would be a prankster. I mean, like, I don't know, like a real life Mr. Burns kind of dickhead. I think maybe this guy is just fun.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he's doing that for all the shit in the world. Somebody's just still being fun. Uh-huh. Especially in a day and age when you can maybe lose that to just be fun.
Yeah.
Oh, I got a bunch of money. I'm going to be a weirdo with it.
Yeah, that would be fun. Hmm.
That's what I got for him.
Interesting. To look further into that.
Steve Bryson asked, Star Trek or Star Wars? Indiana Jones. Take a hike, nerd.
Over the top. Ugh. Heartwarming tale involving child custody battles and professional arm wrestling.
Yeah.
Brett Morrison asks, I'll ask a second question. First one's kind of comedy, inside baseball. Second question, if you don't live in L.A., what cities would you like to settle down in? A, from a comedy standpoint. B, from normal functioning life standpoint. And C, from a potentially paranormal experience standpoint. That's a great question. We've talked about this.
Just talk about that. Yeah, where would you live?
If you didn't have to live in L.A. Like, I like L.A., but if I wasn't a comedian, I probably wouldn't live here.
I do love that desert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you like the desert.
I like the desert. Mm-hmm. I kind of like... That's what's fun about Palm Springs. It's like silly. Mm-hmm. Everything, you know, it feels like bedrock.
Yeah.
Like all the mid-century modern design, you realize that's how all the houses were designed, but with boulders instead of walls and the Flintstones.
Yeah.
And I just like the landscape and the desert and the mystery of the desert, you know, sitting out. That place we rented last Halloween was just a good lot of distance between you and the neighbors. And you could just sit on a porch and turn off all your lights if you want and just see a moon just light up. It like, looks like Mars, you know. And I go desert somewhere.
Yeah, I like the desert. I definitely Pacific Northwest from
perspective,
normal functioning life standpoint and paranormal experience standpoint. Somewhere in the Pacific Northwest, whether it's extreme Northern California or you know somewhere in Washington State
Redwood
or Oregon
Forest.
Man, that I like that Redwood Forest a lot.
Yeah, we hauled through that going Humboldt, going to Arcata from Portland.
Yeah, yeah, I like Humboldt and all that area up there. But yeah, probably like to live up there if it didn't have to be here. From a comedy standpoint outside of L.A., I mean, of course, I'm biased, but, you know, I wouldn't mind going back and spending some time in Atlanta. Great comedy scene, great city. You know, if I could get to the point where I'm just, you know, touring and playing theaters or whatever and didn't have to be in L.A. to handle all this showbiz bullshit, I would probably... hang out in Atlanta for a while and just tour from there or, you know, I don't know. You're at the point where you can just fucking move wherever you want, man. You've talked about you were entertaining a few different places.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting a little fried out on old Los Angeles.
I love L.A., but, man, it does wear you down.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Maybe I'll just go to Burbank. I don't know. Rachel's still got to work.
I got to get out of L.A. I'm going to Burbank.
But you go to Burbank, it's the Burbank. I can't believe I'm saying this. I just want something a little more suburban. Did city for a long time. I'm done with the amount of people.
Dude, La Cañada.
It is. Yeah,
I love it
true.
Up there. Ooh, it's so pretty. It's just 10 miles away. But it feels like you're in a different state.
You heard it first. La Cañada.
Mm-hmm. What else we got here? Luke Shaleda. He's hollered at us before. I like that name too. Just complimenting. We got our name. Our listeners have great names.
Mm-hmm.
Luke Shaleda. In your opinion, what would be the most important tools/supplies to bring squatching for trapping, documenting, mating? If you're into it.
Ooh, fucking rubbers, man. Gym hats.
Some lube. I don't know if you're squatching, you know, you need some good camping gear, you know, you got to get way deep out in there. You can't go squatching for like 2 hours.
Good set of boots. You got to always look out for your feet when you're traveling, plan on walking, take care of your feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good camping gear, you know, maybe a firearm just in case, you know, not that you want to shoot and kill Bigfoot, but
yeah, there's other stuff out there.
You run across a grizzly bear or a goddamn mountain lion or something. But, yeah, I don't know. Documenting a decent video camera that doesn't Shoot blurry, pixelated horse shit.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's the first and foremost.
Get a good camera and know how to use it.
That is the most inexplicable part of anytime somebody's like, we got footage.
Mm-hmm.
No. It your phone, with all the trail cameras out there, with all the trail cameras out there, we're not catching Bigfoot.
Yeah.
I think good camera, that's a nice one. Christine Baker says, hey, boys, what's your worst or funniest roommate story?
Ooh, I got a worse one than I.
Yeah,
you
got some unspeakable ones.
Yeah, I got one. I can't.
Unmentionables.
I had to wrestle a gun out of a guy's hand.
Yeah, I had a guy, RIP, roommate. I went by the name of Luz, L-U-Z, one name. Changed his name legally to just the Spanish word for light. And he would get his mail and be like, Mr. Lucy. And he would just look at it. He's like, oh, Kyle, don't ever change your name. I'm like, I hadn't planned on it. But he passed away last year, year before. Mm-hmm. But he was like I've never met, like, we know drunks, mm-hmm. you know. We know people that drink a lot, but I never met like an alcoholic.
Really?
Like the kind you see on Intervention and mm-hmm. stuff.
He
would kick. Well, no, I don't want to speak ill of the dead, he would like be beer bottles next to the door. Like he would wait for his ride for work in the morning. And one time he got sent home from work because they thought he was having a heart attack. And he just got home. He's like, I want chicken fried steak. I'm like, all right, I guess we'll go get chicken fried steak. And he would like wake up. I would come home and he'd be passed out in my room. I'm like, all right, man. I'd walk by his door like Saturday morning and his door's just open. I'm going to the bathroom. He's just there just naked with a bottle of gin. I'm like, I'll close your door for you. But yeah, he had brought someone back from a bar we were hanging out at. And was like, he was just drunk. He was on the floor trying to kick his motorcycle boots off. And one of them hit me in the face and I choked him. And then I felt bad. And then I moved out.
Oh, man.
I liked him, but it was like the guy who's the most fun to party with, you shouldn't live with.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You need that distance.
Yeah, home like, should be way to get away from
it. It was dark. I got hooked up with him through an ex-girlfriend. Like, I was looking for a place to stay. She's like, oh, my buddy's got a whole house. And it was Highland Park before Highland Park was what it is now. Mm-hmm. Like, I got redirected because of a gang fight once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was like, told me that. Yeah. Guy's like, go around. I'm like, you betcha. But, and he would like, I remember one time he was driving home from the bar so drunk. And I'm like, I'll jump out of the car if you don't pull over.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I'm opening the door. Like, I was going to jump out if he didn't let me drive.
Wow.
And then I left and went back. We were friends again. I went back there and I was getting some stuff like a couple months later that I'd left. And we just drank a bunch of whiskey and just shot a handgun off in his backyard.
Because
it was Highland Park back then. So you could just shoot at a banana tree with a .22. You couldn't. That was a real dumb thing to do, but that's what we did.
Man. This is not a roommate story, but it's an apartment story. First time I ever lived on my own, my own apartment. First time I moved out from my parents' home, I was 19, and I lived with some buddies in Athens, Georgia to take a radio job. And I did that for 6 months. And then I moved into my own place, my own little studio apartment in Gainesville, Georgia. And I was the only Caucasian in the entire complex, which is fine. You know, rent was which is very affordable. Like, oh no, I didn't have a problem. But like, it was a little weird. Just like, you know, I don't know. I got a lot of looks. Like, hey, what's this white boy doing here? I'm like, sorry, rent's cheap. I'm just moving in. I won't cause any trouble. But real small, like 350 square feet studio apartment, and set up kind of like a little shitty motel. You know, we're just one long strip of a building and then just boom, 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 all the way down, different apartments. Anyway, my very next door, right next door, was this young lady. And I spoke to her just a couple of times. You know, nothing, never really had a conversation with her, just friendly. Hey, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. And one day I come home and there's police everywhere, police tape everywhere.
Uh-oh.
They wouldn't let me in my apartment at that time. I had to leave for like an hour or two.
Mm-hmm.
She had her brother was visiting from out of town, and an estranged ex-boyfriend thought that brother was new lover. Knocked on the door. Brother answered the door. Ex-boyfriend shot him in the face with a shotgun and killed him.
God damn it, man.
Thought that this guy, he had been spying or stalking or whatever, and thought that this dude was her new lover. And that was just her brother visiting from out of town. Opens the door, shotgun to the face. You're dead.
Fucking hell, man.
Right next door.
Ugh.
That was fucking weird.
That's rough. That's a rough one.
Yeah. A little uplifting story for you there.
Yeah. I'm going to address Adrian Reyes says, Dave, how's the ghost hunting equipment I sent you working out? We have not been ghost hunting.
We haven't been ghost hunting, but we, Katie and I have been tinkering around with it.
Oh, yeah. Well, because she thinks her place. Have you been setting anything off?
There's been some. I haven't quite mastered how to use it and what it all means.
Yeah.
But there's been some weird activity, some bleeps and blops.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I told you, in the apartment that I currently live in, Katie's lived there for 5 years.
Yeah, she thinks.
I've only been there for a few months. She saw a ghost.
Oh, the 70s. 70s dress.
Yeah, like a 18, 19-year-old boy with kind of a 70s blonde shag and bell bottoms just sitting in her chair. She's got this old white, just kind of upholstered, like, you know, 70s thrift store chair.
Maybe the chair's haunted.
One day, she came out of the bedroom. And she saw crystal clear a young man sitting in the chair.
You should, yeah, maybe it's the chair.
Yeah, and I told you.
You can look up registry if you find out if people died in a building or something like that. I think. I don't know.
And I told you, we're right in between. To the left of us is a nursing home, and to the right of us is a hospice center. So, and at least once or twice a week, there's an ambulance over there.
I remember, because I think I know the building you're talking about, and I would see for rent signs always, and I was like, I see, like, the sirens that, I didn't want to deal with it.
I've never seen an ambulance not in a hurry.
But so we're working on it, Adrian. Also, second question, where do I send you guys food? Our family makes this dessert made from rum pope, liquor made by nuns. Ooh, I trust the Catholics with liquor. Don't trust them with your kids. Trust them with making booze. They are drunks. For rum pope, for the holidays, that's amazing. We would like to send you some. Dave, I trust you can...
Yeah, email us, boogiemonsterpodcast@gmail.com, and I will send you the address.
And I want to go to this other one, too. It's a good one. Andy Sanders says, hey, guys, wanted to get your thoughts on some of the best, worst supernatural weaknesses. Silver bullet kills a werewolf. Wooden stakes and crucifixes kill vampire. Caffeine kills Ben Stein. Is Ben Stein Mormon?
I don't get that one.
Maybe he's Mormon.
I think Ben Stein is Jewish.
Why?
He appears to be Jewish.
He's also a right wing.
Is he?
Yeah. Ben Stein. You know what? I don't know what the fuck I'm looking up. Anyway, that's a good one. Yeah.
What are some other weaknesses other than the obvious ones you mentioned?
Vampires and werewolves. Poltergeist seems to be an exorcism type situation, which is why are exorcisms always Catholic?
That's a great question.
You know?
Well,
and why would that work? Does that what if the poltergeist isn't Catholic? You know, like somebody putting a Jewish curse on you, and you're like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, don't play by them rules.
Yeah, whatever. Go for it. Yeah, Alakazam yourself. I don't know. Like, but it just doesn't matter.
What is it with vampires? You keep a vampire away with garlic.
Garlic, yeah.
I don't want to hang out with any idiot that's afraid of garlic.
Yeah. What's up? No, you don't like flavor. That's what I'm saying. They take things too seriously. Yeah. Bad at sex. They don't like flavor. Vampires suck, man. Oh, whoa, ba-ding, bang.
Oh, man.
What else? What are the other ones?
Is there something where if you get it wet, other than we were just talking about gremlins?
No, those are the aliens at the end of Signs. Man, that was such a good movie up until the end. That was a great, scary alien movie up until the end.
And how does it end? All the glasses of water mean...
Spoiler alert. Yeah, the aliens can't get wet. So they landed on a planet that's covered 70% by the stuff they can't
And that's why the little girl always had glasses of water.
Or, yeah, it like added up to that. But also, like somebody else pointed out, like, yeah, so they're just at night in cornfields covered in dew. That was where the whole thing fell apart. But leading up to that, that was a well-done movie.
Hmm.
And then the end.
Yeah, I did enjoy it.
But I don't know. That silver bullet thing, like...
When Joaquin tells Mel Gibson to just run around the house, like, angry or... Just,
yeah.
I think he just runs off the porch and goes, I'm filled with rage!
Yeah. Plays a real dweeb.
I'm filled with rage. Or something like that.
How many things did you have to go through? Who was just rocking silver bullets? Happenstance.
Yeah.
Just rolling around, just filling their gun with as much money as they could. Yeah. This one's diamonds.
Yeah.
This one's...
Silver bullets.
Yeah, how did you figure that one out? What if it's not a bullet? Can you stab them with a silver knife?
Hmm.
Is it because it's poisonous? I have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Wooden stakes on the vampire?
Hmm.
I feel like that was a joke somewhere, too. Like, you got to kill him with a steak. Like, why? He's got high cholesterol. Like, no, a wooden steak. Yeah, just wood. That's it. Vampire.
Yeah.
Ugh, I can also turn into a bat. Can you stab the bat? What if you stab the bat?
Hmm. I don't know.
A lot of holes in these things.
I don't know how any of that works.
Obligatory food sub question around the holidays. Around the holiday, my family drinks boiled custard. I never thought I'd hear those words together, Andy, and I resent you for putting them in my head. Boiled custard, not eggnog. Sounds gross, but it's pretty legit. Have you all ever had it? No, I've never had boiled custard. Do you mean pudding before it sets? Isn't that what boiled custard is?
Yeah.
You ever make Jell-O pudding?
No.
And it's just, well, it's just hot slop. And then you put it in the fridge and it turns into pudding. It turns into spoonable pudding. But before that, it's whatever Andy's been drinking around the holidays.
Ugh. Man, speaking of homemade pudding.
Sure.
You know what I wish?
You're the one dude who would have a fucking follow-up to the topic of homemade pudding.
You know what my favorite thing to eat when I was a little kid? One is just a treat. Just a delightful treat. Jell-O pudding pops.
Yeah.
My God, those were great.
Yeah.
Jell-O pudding pops, Bill Cosby jokes aside. Oh, my God.
Yeah, pudding pops is delicious.
Those were amazing. Sure. Why did they stop making those?
Did they?
I've looked for years.
Yeah.
Jell-O pudding pop. They had the chocolate. They had the vanilla. They had the chocolate vanilla swirl. Holy shit.
Gave it cancer.
Jell-O pudding pops were the shit. And the texture that they would take on once you started kind of softening them up a little bit. And, oh, man, I just.
Rachel, we got a freezer full of little creamies here.
No, which ones are those?
They're just like, I don't know if it's just like a regional thing. Uh-huh. Rachel's dad and brother sent them to her for her birthday.
There's a
salmon
sample joke there somewhere.
Yeah, there's a. But sent like 4 dozen of these things from Utah to here in the middle of a heat wave. So I just opened up a styrofoam cooler. They'd put dry ice in it, but dry ice was completely evaporated in the inside of the containers. Room temperature of just... packets of liquid that I refroze. They're fine.
Yeah.
They're all just misshapen.
Man.
Little creamies.
10-year-old Dave would be so disappointed in how few popsicles 41-year-old Dave eats.
What are you doing for sweet treats?
I'm not right now.
What were you doing for sweet treats? Crunch bar? You fuck with a Nestle Crunch bar?
You know what? Believe it or not, I don't have a huge sweet tooth. I'm a savory meal guy.
I'm with you, too.
I'm a fucking let's eat some fucking lunch, dude.
I don't get it, but like if I'm around somewhere and I got drumsticks, just the basic drumsticks where it's like fudge or caramel. And if you got one with caramel, like just in the middle, I love a drumstick.
Yeah, those are good.
Dipped.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I used to eat the ones. By the way, this reminds me. When you were in elementary school, did y'all have like an ice cream cooler? Would y'all go get ice cream a few times a week?
You'd get the cups with the wooden spoon, with the wooden little just half popsicle stick spoon, and it'd be the strawberry swirl or the chocolate swirl.
Those were good.
I always liked those.
I don't think it was every day, surely not, but it seemed like at least once or twice a week, somewhere, you know, an hour or two after lunch, we'd all march down to the lunchroom.
Yeah, there would be like a special ice cream thing.
Huge cooler full of ice cream, and you'd give your teacher, you know, the 50 cents or whatever, and there was about five or six options. You could get the orange push-up thing.
Yeah, yeah, push-pop.
The sherbet push-pop. You could get the little cup of ice cream. Mm. But then they had these there was a chocolate one and a strawberry one. The ice cream bars with a stick that had the chocolate crumbs or the pink strawberry crumbs.
Yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Man,
there.
Those were good.
Those like ice cream truck ice cream.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That kind of stuff.
Man, get yourself like a Mickey Mouse face or something.
Yeah, yeah. But this just had like the chocolate crumbs and the strawberry crumbs.
I know those, yeah.
Oh, man. That was solid. That was one of my favorites.
Kind
of
like a Crunch bar, yeah.
But I was thinking, like, why? Like, I appreciated it at the time, but, like, maybe that's why Americans are so goddamn fat. Do we need to have a designated ice cream break as fucking eight-year-olds?
How often do you? I mean, everybody gets a little treat. But I just love how people were, like, shit all over Michelle Obama for trying to just do it, making a healthy cause. Yeah. Like the most benign thing you could do, and people shit all over for it. Yeah. But okay, fine. You drag your tumor of a child through Walmart. let him eat whatever crumbs he can find underneath the racks in the chip aisle, you fucking slobs.
While we're on the topic, what's the worst snack that you were not force-fed, but like
corn nuts.
Yeah, corn nuts kind of suck.
I've said it before. I'll say it. It's like a bag of smoker's teeth. It's like a jack-o'-lantern had gingivitis. Fucking disgusting. Hard. Like, it's flavored rocks.
Yeah.
It's like rocks. It sucks.
Hmm.
Or puffed corn.
Puffed corn.
It was like instead of popcorn, it was like puffed. It was some, I don't know, some disappointment.
I was always kind of disappointed in Funyuns. People like Funyuns, but it's a whole lot of nothing.
You know what? It's just a flavor thing.
Yeah,
I like the powder. Like salt. It's like Munchos.
Yeah, yeah.
I love Munchos. It's like I could just eat salt.
You know what I did love in the chip department? I guess they still make them. I haven't had them in years. Bugles. Because you can put them on your little fingers, and they look like little wizard hands.
Oh, I know the Bugles. They were the corn chips.
Yeah, it had a nice texture, a nice crunch to it.
You know what I don't like? Maybe I'll come around on it. Cheez-Its. I don't like Cheez-Its.
Oh, see, I got to disagree with you. Solid.
I don't like...
I get that they're kind of boring.
I need some grease. They're just so dry. Like pretzels?
Uh-huh.
But there's no reason.
Yeah.
There's no reason.
Yeah.
Soft pretzels? Whole different thing.
Yeah.
But just pretzels? Oh, and you get them unsalted? Just eat. Just lick your shirt.
Yeah.
What's the point?
Did I talk to you about girlfriend Katie's weird new habit with the dried pasta?
You did. That's weird.
She's eating dried pasta.
She's doing it a lot?
Yeah. I'm worried about her.
That's like something that you take an animal to the vet for.
Yeah.
See? It really gets into the dry pasta. I don't know if that's a behavioral thing. Is it acting up for a reason?
Well, it got worse this week because
it's just a sheet of dry lasagna.
Yeah. Yeah. Like
eating it like a plate.
Yeah. Well, she got into the... It is like a pet. She got into the box of pasta last week. And she kind of mowed through that in a few days. And the whole time I was like, honey,
no teeth.
Yeah, I was like, honey, are you okay? Like, but then she willingly purchased a second box of pasta the other day for the sole purpose of eating dry.
And
I'm like, hey, we got to talk.
That's not good.
I'm very concerned.
Digestion-wise.
Yes.
Doesn't it have to be soft so it can break down?
You would think.
So you're going to poke her guts.
Yeah.
With a piece of dry spaghetti.
And then she crunches on it. She will literally grab a grip of 15 to 20 sticks and just take a one-inch bite off of it, you know, just the whole stack. And then when she does that, they go, little shards go flying everywhere.
Yeah.
I fucking stepped on one the other day. I thought it was a goddamn nail. Thought I was going to have a tetanus shot. Stepped on a goddamn spear of dried pasta.
That's real weird, man.
Yeah, we're going to have an intervention or something. And I'm like, it's empty calories. It's empty carbs. I will boil the noodles for you and toss them in some butter and garlic or something. Like,
yeah.
Why are you doing this? And she doesn't have an answer.
The
she's
temptation
just kind of
when I'm making spaghetti or something, and just spaghetti, not even like a rigatoni noodle or a mustard choli, like a thin spaghetti, if one falls on a counter or something, just to like do a little snap, 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 snap.
Yeah.
A little, you know, like a little ASMR pleasure.
Yeah.
But even after doing that, I'm like, I wish I didn't do that.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus Christ. And she eats like a goddamn animal anyway. She works out. She burns 10,000 calories a day, so she eats like she needs fuel. But, man, and she loves fruit. She's just on a fruit. She ate a box of fucking figs the other day. I came home, just a box of figs.
I didn't know figs came in a box.
Yeah, just like a fucking...
Fig Newtons?
No. Figs.
No. Figs.
Figs.
That's all right. That's a fruit.
But it's just weird. And she leaves these little... The cores and the pits. There's just fruit carcasses all over the fucking living room. And she's strong, too. She loves peaches. She'll snap a peach in half like a fucking chimpanzee. She's out of control.
You live with an animal.
It is. It's like living with a goddamn giraffe. She's tall. She's 5'11". She's just eating figs. It's like a goddamn zookeeper over there.
I think we could wrap it up after that
one. All right.
That's a good one.
I mean, I love her, but Jesus Christ. Between the figs and the peaches and the fucking dried pasta, it is like living with a farm animal. All right. Well, should we land this plane?
You want to throw? There's still. I think we don't even have to ask for questions for the next one. We could just take these.
Yeah.
There's still so many more good ones.
Hmm.
You know, Matt Gee has good ones. Corey Lovejoy. Ooh, Yucca Man.
Ooh. Here's one for you, Kyle. Phil Schultz again. Kyle, what shows did you see at Off the Alley? My wife is your age and was probably at Screeching Weasel or the Queers a few times. What's Off the Alley?
Off the Alley was a club in Homewood. Who did I go see down there? Because all the bands that would play there, it was kind of just far enough out of the way that they would still either have just recently played a venue closer to me. So I never made the trek to go to Homewood because a lot of the bands would just play in Chicago. But who did I see down there? We played there a couple times, and I think I went out of my way to see... Fuck, maybe the Parasites? But otherwise, I would see all the bands. Off the Alley was always... It was South Side, so they would always have, like... You know, I see the rumors, they always have the skinheads there in that place. They ripped us off one time, too, because we brought a bunch of people when we played. And then we're like... They ask, who are you here to see at the door?
Yeah.
And then, like, we got, like, $20. We're like, I could sit here right now and tell you how many people are here that said to see us and how much they paid. So I just thought that place was fucking a scammer.
Yeah.
But anyway.
All right.
That one. See, we could have ended...
Could end on a high
fun thing. Corey Lovejoy says, hi, are you guys not afraid of the Yucca Man when you're camping in Joshua Tree? I don't know about the Yucca Man, but I will look it up.
Yep.
We'll said, my husband sadly grew up in 29 Palms and said he's real and dangerous. So
okay. Well,
this is now maybe you ruined the Joshua Tree for me. Thanks a lot, Lovejoy. More like Buzzkit, whatever. Fuck.
All right, buddy.
I don't know. There's so many good questions. I think we got to start going and get these. Yeah. Anyway, thanks so much, everybody.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Seriously, appreciate the support. Patreon.com/Boogie Monster. This comes out, hopefully come out Friday.
Yeah.
I'm going to Jason Isbell Friday night.
Yeah, you're going to see some.
At the Greek. Anybody at Isbell at the Greek in L.A., say hello. I'll be the white-bearded guy.
You'll see, Dave. Did you get tickets already?
Yeah.
Oh, I told you how I went, Singer and I went and saw...
Dwight Yoakam,
and some guy just gave us a good deal.
I'm like,
there's no way it's real. And he's like, pay me once you're inside. Pay me through the fence.
Huh.
He's like, really? And the tickets clicked, and I gave him the money. Wow. He's like, take my number. Singer's got his number.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Good to know.
All right.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys. Tell a friend, $4 a month, you get this. New Dave's Kitchen coming out any day now, starting my new keto series. Doing for the next several months until I reach my goal weight, we're going to be doing keto recipes on Dave's Kitchen, which brought Rachel a sample of that today. There, Kyle.
Yeah,
so let me know what she thinks of that. I don't want to spoil it, but it's a tasty treat. So, all right, guys, thank you so much. Holla at you, boys.
The Boogie Monster.